Unbelief is every minister's frustration, but Jesus was hardly more successful than we are. For if the things done in Capernaum had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have a long time ago believed. But one resident by the name of Peter believed. Until recently, the church calendar was unbalanced. Men of lesser rank as John, Andrew, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all had their own days, as do Luther and Walter. Peter shares June 29th with Paul, but in this equation, the conversion of St. Paul gives that apostle the edge. Sermons about Paul often carry the reminder that he corrected Peter about his eating companions, but little is ever said about how Peter cautioned his readers that Paul had said things which were hard to understand. Frank Sen conjectures that the choice of Peter's confession was an ecumenical gesture. Paul, with justification, is a Protestant favorite, and Peter, a favorite with Catholics who have worn down the toe of his statue in Rome's great basilica with their kisses. But he is important for us too. C.F.W. Walther included Peter's words, "You are a royal priesthood," under his signature. Words which, like Paul, have been twisted and misunderstood. Peter gave us the clearest description of biblical inspiration. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Peter took Christ's command to him to care for God's flock and gave it to us pastors, as Dr. Fakentia pointed out last Friday. Luther counted 1 Peter among his favorites. Paul gave Peter the honor of being the first witness of the resurrection. And from Peter, Paul received the hand of fellowship into the apostolic group. Paul gave us the epistles. But Peter was the living tradition from which our Gospels took their content and form. The women were instructed to tell Jesus' disciples and Peter that he had risen from the dead. And in that sentence, the word "and" carries the weight. He was the first preacher to proclaim the gospel to an audience of murderers that the one whom they killed had by that death won for them salvation. Paul accepting Jesus' call into the ministry was not optional. It is hard to say no to a blinding light. For us, it was, and it is still an option. Some of you here may have said 1,000 no's before you gave a final yes. And Jesus' haunting question to us is full of pathos. Will you also go away? And Peter's response is ours, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." So Peter is like us in a way that Paul can never be. A few weeks ago, a near relative, unversed in things biblical, claimed he had found the common proverb, "Skies red at night, sailors delight, skies red in the morning, sailors take warning." He said he found it in the Bible. My expertise gave me the right to dismiss this as absurd. And then, much to my chagrin, there it was in Matthew 16, just before the confession of Peter. "When it is evening, you say it'll be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it'll be stormy today, for the sky is red and threatening." Peter, like any sailor, lived by those words. But Jesus was not giving precautions for sailing on the Sea of Galilee. He was referring to how the feedings of the 5,000 and 4,000 showed that he was Moses and God all wrapped up into one person. Peter interpreted the signs and confessed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And in that moment, the foundation of the church was laid. "On this rock I will build my church." Today, the moment of faith's enlightenment comes in the signs of bread which the Father gives us as Jesus' body. The day of Peter and Paul point them out as the twin pillars of the church. But they were no more identical than we are. God uses people who, like us, sometimes do not agree. In the controversy about Mark's continuing in the ministry, Barnabas proved to be right and Paul wrong. Paul later accepted the man he rejected, and he became the second evangelist. There is no one ministerial personality, and an homogenized type is a sociological fiction. Lutherans prefer the Luther-like Paul, who was an emotional, physical, and academic intellectual powerhouse. But Peter was equal to Paul as a missionary, preacher, and theologian. Peter is the tradition behind Matthew, and his sermons were the raw material from which Mark constructed a gospel. Peter traveled throughout Asia Minor and Greece, and he was the first apostle to arrive in Rome. As legend goes, later in his life, as Peter was running away from persecution in Rome, he met Jesus going in the opposite direction. And Peter asked Jesus, "Quo vadis, Domine? Where are you going, Lord?" "To be crucified," Jesus answered. And Peter returned to Rome to be crucified. He once ran from Golgotha, but in the end he picked up his cross and followed Jesus. And that part of the story is true. The bones of Peter and Paul as companion apostles and martyrs rest in Rome. Their lives and confessions are the church's foundation, with Christ as the chief builder and cornerstone. And now for a quotation. "Certainly the church is not built upon the authority of a human being, but upon the ministry of that confession Peter made, in which he proclaimed Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of God." Treatise on the Power and the Primacy of the Pope, paragraph 25.